As swimmers dare to lie face to the sky, and water bears them. As hawks rest on air, and air sustains them. So would I learn to attain such free fall, and float into Creator Spirit's deep embrace, knowing no effort earns that all-surrounding grace. That's Denise Levertov, The Avowal. As swimmers dare to lie face to the sky and water bears them, as hawks rest on air and air sustains them, so would I learn to attain free fall and float into Creator Spirit's deep embrace, knowing no effort earns that all-surrounding grace. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. And I especially was drawn to that this week as I thought about the baptism of Jesus. I wonder why I would be drawn to that. And my favorite words in the whole poem are probably the first three, as swimmers dare. And you probably think, well, Paul's a swimmer, that makes sense. But I'll tell you, and I am, and I do like that. But you know what the word that really draws my attention and captures me? It's the dare. As swimmers dare to lie face to the sky. What is in that dare? As you and I dare. As Jesus might dare. As we are all perhaps called by God to dare. You know what's in that word for me? Audacity. Boldness. Courage to show up. Not only to show up, but to suit up and show up. The audacity. And Jesus came to John the Baptist in the wilderness to be baptized, but what was John's reaction? Yeah, he's like, whoa, you should be baptizing me. The audacity. You dare come to me to be baptized? You think I would dare presume to baptize you? As swimmers dare, as Baptists, as baptizers like John would dare, right? The audacity to be people of faith, even and especially in the wilderness, I think. Even and especially in the wilderness. The boldness to be people of faith. That's what I'm sort of drawn to today. That's how this scripture reaches me today. That we would dare to suit up and show up and to move through the story of the gospel in such a way that we too might dare. Jesus' response to John the Baptist, again, reminds me of the rest of this poem, that I too might float into Creator Spirit's deep embrace. That I too might just let go. The words Jesus says are more along the lines of his mother Mary. Remember that? Mother Mary came to me. Wait, that's a different Mary. But I think they were channeling. And she said, let it be. Let it be. Mary said, let it be according to your word. Let it be to me according to your holy word. And Jesus says to John the Baptist, let it be so now. For it is right that we should fulfill all righteousness in this way. That sounds like Bible talk to me. I'm not sure that's exactly how it came out of Jesus' mouth. So I consulted some other translations, and Eugene Peterson, he's got that really vernacular, just kind of common language Bible called The Message. And his is more like, listen, just do it. Just do it. God wants you to do it. This is the way that we will fulfill everything that God has done in the past and will do in the future, kind of comes together right here, right now. Just do it. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be so now, he says. And that sense of letting it be is, I think, what Denise Levertov writes about in this poem, The Avowal. What an interesting name for that poem, The Avowal. Is it a poem about swimmers? Is it a poem about birds? Is it about water? Is it about air? Is it about floating and flying? Is it about letting go? I wonder what she was thinking when she wrote the word avowal. What is that? A promise? A commitment? A covenant? What is required for us to attain that level of free fall, she calls it, and to float into Creator Spirit's deep embrace? I think I have that right word right. Yeah. To float into Creator Spirit's deep embrace. It means even the best-intentioned people, like John the Baptist, who may think that the script goes a certain way and you're acting outside the script, even people who seem well-informed and doing things for the right reason, they might not buy into our vision of who we are and what we're about, especially if we're buying into God's vision about who we are and what we're about. And that's where Jesus is aligned today. He's like, I know the story. I know the prophets and the apostles. I know the sense of God's Spirit. And this is what needs to be done today. And so he does. Wrong one. This way. And so he does. Three very important words. Then he consented. That's John the Baptist. Then he consented. Jesus says, let it be. And then he consented. Again, I love words, you know, and I love messing around with this. He goes from prevent, he wants to prevent Jesus from being baptized, to consent. Isn't that an interesting transformation of faith from prevent to consent? Think of all the things that we want to sort of put roadblocks up for our own roadblocks and around us, and to move from that to consent. That seems to be the journey of faith. And it's not a very long journey, it seems. But like the journey, you know, who was it that said the journey from my head to my heart was the longest journey I ever took? It's about 18 inches. But for some of us, that's the longest journey we will ever take. And the journey from prevent to consent might be such a journey. And it happens in just a turn when Jesus, you know, sort of calls on his past and his history and his sense of who he is and says to John, just do it. So he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. Artist rendering. I like this. I don't know if you guys saw this earlier. I just like the bold colors and the simplicity of that. Like a dove descending upon him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. This is my Son. I'm not sure what to do with this. I consulted all the other Gospels. This actually came up in conversation not too long ago. Someone said, you know, when did Jesus get that vision? It didn't everybody. You know, didn't everybody see that dove and that? Well, it depends on which Gospel you read. In some of them, Jesus saw the vision and heard the voice. And they help delineate that difference by the tenses that they use, or the person with which they speak, as opposed to second person or third person, right? So if you look at Mark and Luke, I think they both say, you are my beloved Son. So this moment at Jesus' baptism is really a private moment. It's a personal experience between him and the heavens that have been opened up for him. Matthew says the heavens opened up for him. And he saw the dove. He saw this thing. But then the language that comes out in this voice, it's, this is my beloved Son. Now, does God talk to you in the third person? Maybe God doesn't even talk to us. I don't know. But this is an interesting thing. It's an interesting picture here of God talking to Jesus in the third person. This is my beloved son. So that seems to be for us to hear, right? It's a word of validation about who Jesus is. But in Mark and Luke, the validation is really for Jesus. It's, you are my beloved son. With you I am well pleased. Now that gets echoed later on the mountain at the Transfiguration. Very similar scene. Jesus is there, and there's a white light, and the heavens open up again. And there, it's always in the third person. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Right? So we're definitely in on that. This one, it's kind of, in Matthew's gospel, it's just kind of, I don't know, it's ambiguous. The heavens opened up for him. He saw this vision. And then this voice says, as though for all of us to hear, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. As I said to the kids, I really feel like this is the message of baptism. That maybe all of us, when we come up out of the water, some of you literally come up out of the water, some of us just had some sprinkled on us. But the message is, you are beloved. You are a beloved child of God. You matter. And I want to be with you in the world. I want to change the world through you. I want my light to be upon you and shine through you. You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased. So the process of baptism of Jesus that we celebrate today on this second Sunday of Epiphany, I think is meant to remind us of the process of transformation in faith. And we see it several ways. One is that the transformation from prevent to consent. The other is the act of letting go and floating into Creator Spirit's deep embrace. Knowing no effort, those are important words too in that poem, knowing no effort earns that all-surrounding grace. So it's not about effort, it's about grace. Letting go and letting be into the power of God and the will of God and the grace of God.